Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, and welcome to this special edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined always by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, have you been lounging around by the pool with a adult beverage in your hand since the last time we talked to everybody on this show, or what?
Well, I'm not sure if it would constitute as a pool, Joe, but I might have been lounging around some bucket of water or something like that, splashing myself on my yellow, green, and white plastic ribbed sun chair, singing "Summer Breeze." Makes me feel fine. How about that, Joe? How about that, a start to our summer special?
Yeah, that works. That works. You know, I've been getting a little bit more work done on Fridays, and I've kind of missed being on here, you know. But special occasion. You know, you've got Southern Indiana teams. You've got Jasper. You've got South Spencer. You've got Vincennes Reveille all competing for a state championship this weekend in baseball. You had the Jasper golf team. You had Steve Milligan and his golfers finished fourth, with Will Seger having a third place finish individually. And, you know, and then you had the Louisville Cardinals go to the College World Series, and that's big news too.
Well, and that's why we're here. I appreciate it, but I can't count the number of people that over the last month have said, hey, you guys are on summer hiatus, summer vacation from the show. We turned it on. It wasn't on. And so, this was the perfect opportunity to bring our summer special on. And with IU in the College World Series, Louisville in the College World Series, as you said, Jasper in baseball 3A state, South Spencer in 2A, we even have people over in the Vincennes area that listen. Vincennes Reveille is also competing for a state championship. Cathedral, of course, our Indy correspondent Don Schultheis has a son who goes to Cathedral. Cathedral is playing for a 4A state championship. You've got the NBA Finals knotted up at 2-2. And we've got the U.S. Open going on. Lefty Phil Mickelson had the lead after the first round in the soggy opening of the U.S. Open up in Pennsylvania at Marion Golf Course. And so there's really a whole lot going on. But just to reiterate what we said before we took the break we took, it was an opportunity to do some of the things we needed to do before next season to make our show better. But it just seemed like, Joe, and we talked about this a couple of times and said, let's do it. It just seemed like it was the perfect time to go with the Coach K and Joe show summer special.
Yeah, there's just, you know, it couldn't go without, you know, the summer is kind of a time where sports-wise, you know, you got college basketball down, college football, high school sports are winding down, and, you know, it just ended up being the perfect time for, you know, to come out, to break out of retirement for a week, and you know, this is, I guess we could also call it kind of our spring training. You know, we're getting ready for August 2nd, and, you know, gives us a chance to work out the kinks as well, you know, got to warm the arm up and et cetera. But, you know, I do want to do one thing, though, before I forget. Jasper hired a new volleyball coach, and if I didn't mention her, you know, hopefully she listens to the show, but if I didn't mention her, I wanted to go ahead and do that, so I wouldn't be in the doghouse this weekend, but for some reason, Jasper hired Liz Milligan as the new Jasper High School volleyball coach.
Yeah, I'm excited for Liz. Great opportunity, a great choice for Jasper's volleyball program. Liz, of course, your wife and former volleyball player at Jasper, and actually the mother and probably the beginning teacher of your daughter, Ryan, who went on to play Division One college volleyball. So she's been around the block a few times as far as volleyball is concerned. She's coached on different levels over the past few years. I think she's a great choice, and I think if you will keep from telling her what you hear from the community and giving your opinions, I think she'll do great. That's one thing that I will have to say, Liz, you're going to do a tremendous job in an already great program, but just separate yourself from your husband and don't listen when he starts telling you what he's heard around the community.
Well, you know, I solicited donations for, though, in this week on Monday night, I solicited a rather large donation promise from an Edward D. Jones agent down in Evansville that we were pretty excited about.
Well, I just for those who would have any understanding of what Joe's talking about, there's no truth to that. But we do wish Liz a lot of luck, and I look forward to talking with her when we come back with Season 2, Joe, and talk a little bit about the girls' volleyball program at Jasper and her first year in the leadership position. You know, going with that and the Jasper theme, of course, we're going to talk about Terry Gobert and his baseball team playing for a state championship later in the show. We'll also be talking with golf coach Steve Milligan from Jasper and their number one golfer, Will Sager, who just got done competing in the Indiana State Golf Tournament Championships. But Jasper also has their new basketball arena ready. And from everything I have been able to understand from people, it truly is an outstanding gymnasium. And even more than that, it truly is an arena to watch and play basketball.
Yes, I've seen it. I can honestly say, you know, today I was out there, and a great person that we've had on the show, you know, Michael Lewis was out there, and he was going to go out and look at the gym, and I was talking to him a little bit about it, and I said, you know, I said, when I heard how big the gym was going to be, I was a little concerned as far as from a basketball standpoint, you know, intimacy, et cetera, but, you know, for a gym that big, they got it right as far as, you know, it's going to be a nice gym for people to view a game at. And, you know, just walking through a little bit that I've seen it, you know, the concourses are wide. You're not going to have to worry about the kids running around you constantly. You know, the seats on the upper level are raised, you know, from the walkway. And, you know, they did a great job with it. And I'm excited to actually walk through it and take a look at it. And I think that the painting of the floor and the varnishing or whatever it's called is done or almost done, and I think that, you know, soon people are going to be able to go take a look at it. And those who saw it at graduation were already impressed with it, even though it wasn't 100% finished. So,
now, I think they did their due diligence on it, crossed their T's and dotted their I's and did the things that they needed to do to put together a great facility. And Jasper, of course, has great facilities for all their athletes and their students in their schools. And although I do not believe that facilities, whether it be in education or in athletics, is the difference between teams winning and losing, it's certainly when you have the work ethic and effort of the kids and the coaches, teachers, it certainly helps the process going forward. But it's nice that a community like Jasper and many communities across the country put their athletes and their students in the best facilities possible. And we do see that a lot in the state of Indiana, where our show is generated from. For any new listeners we have from across the country or in the internet world, our show is generated out of the southern part of the state of Indiana, the Coach K and Joe Show. We talk about anything from professional to college and to local area high school sports, predominantly focused on the Indiana University, Purdue, Notre Dame, Louisville, teams like that on the college level, Pacers, and move on in the professional level, and then the local high school scene. But nothing is out of bounds for this group. I can tell you that right now. From someone calling in to to what we're talking about, whether it be sports, whether it be business, whether it be anything that comes up. And today we've got a great show. It's Coach K and Joe Show Summer Special. We're going to be talking IU baseball later in the show. Of course, IU has made the College World Series for the first time in Hoosier history, and I believe the first time in 29 years for the Big Ten, for a Big Ten team. Now, think about that. 29 years since a Big Ten team has been to Omaha in the College World Series. They're in the player on the IU roster because IU's not like Kentucky and some of these other places recruiting 30-year-olds. There's not a player on the IU roster that was alive the last time a Big Ten team made the College World Series. Not IU, a Big Ten team. So we've got that coming ahead. We've got the state baseball tournament in Indiana coming to talk about that. We'll rant a little bit. We'll talk about some of the things going on in Indianapolis in the hoop scene. Big news out of Cathedral, one of their best returning players, one of their best players from this team, one of the best returning players, one of the best players in the country will be leaving Cathedral and going to a prep school north of Indianapolis, La Lemieux. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. But right now, let's jump into the NBA playoffs. You know, the funny thing about the pundits on TNT or whoever's got ESPN, whoever's got it going, from Michael Wilbon to Magic Johnson, I think Magic tries to hold off from getting too crazy on that. Jalen Rose does a great job. But it's usually the guys that haven't played the game or coached the game. It's like a roller coaster. It's like going to Walt Disney World, and you get on the ride, and it's the greatest ride you've ever been on. And then you get on the ride the next day, and it's the greatest ride you've ever been on. That's what I look at the NBA playoffs like. You've got the San Antonio Spurs, and I'm going to say it right now, and Joe may remember this. Early in the year when we talked about the NBA, I questioned the Celtics being able to make a run because, one, I didn't think they had the talent, and two, I thought they were too old. And I questioned whether San Antonio could go deep into the playoffs, and it wasn't because of their talent. It certainly wasn't because of their coaching. Pop Popovich, he's about as good as they come, has ever come. I questioned their age. I didn't know if they could handle the long playoff run it takes to win an NBA title. And they've done it. They're in the finals. It's squared up at 2-2 with the Miami Heat, everybody's team to love or everybody's team to hate. Right now they are what we would call the New York Yankees of the NBA. They spent a lot of money to put a team together. They've got the big three, LeBron James, the king, of course, Dwayne Wade, hobbled but coming back strong, and Chris Bosh, probably, in my opinion, that's right, my opinion, Coach K's opinion, the most overrated player that would ever be considered a big three. But NBA playoffs took a big turn last night, at least if you're talking to the pundits, because a few nights ago when San Antonio had a 30-point blowout, oh, my gosh, it was over. The Miami Heat team was on the verge of being called one of the greatest teams of all time. Now you can't even talk about them in the same breath, the way they got beat by the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio, even though the series was only 2-1 at that point. But it was over. And, you know, how can Miami come back? And, you know, I've watched this over the years with the NBA. So many times the NBA Finals will have a game where there's a blowout and everybody's saying, oh, it's over. And then the next night out, the other team comes back and wins big. And, guys, that's what happened. Guys and gals, that's what happened the other night. San Antonio comes back. They look sluggish after that big win. They can't dial it up like they were dialing it up. You know, the thing about the three, when it's falling, it's great. When it's not, it leaves the other team ample opportunities to get the ball out and go and get easy baskets, and that's what Miami did. Tony Parker played as well as he could, hobbling a little bit. Duncan looked a little slow last night, but still they hung in there for a while, but then Miami you know, picked it up, and before you knew it was 15 or 20 points. So I, you know, it went from Miami's done to now Miami's back. It's 2-2. So one game does not a playoff championship make. One score does not determine the outcome of a series. And one blowout definitely has nothing to do with being a winner. You know, Joe, if you are a veteran team or a veteran player, a veteran pitcher, a veteran hitter, because you strike out four times or get beat around for eight earned runs or get beat by 30 points or get beat by four touchdowns, if you are a championship caliber team, that's one game. And one game does not make a season, nor does it make a championship series opportunity.
Well, they're professionals because, you know, they're going to shake it off and they know tomorrow's a new day. And, you know, the fortunes can change in 24 hours. And, you know, if you're a sports fan, you've seen it many, many times. I mean, you just never know how it's going to go. And,
I get tired of those pundits when they come on. And somebody's out there saying right now, hey, Coach K and Joe, you're pundits. Well, maybe we are, maybe we aren't. We like to think we're a little smarter than that. But the death of Miami, and I'm not for the Heat in this series. I'd like to see the Spurs win this thing and Duncan and Popovich and Parker and the boys go out. It's just one of the great – they already are one of the great franchises of all time. But to hoist this fifth title would put them in such elite territory and all in, what, about a 10-year stretch. I just can't believe sometimes how – we will allow one run or in a game or one game situation determine, well, that's the end. And I'm not saying that on a team that's not tested, maybe it's their first time in there. I can see where something like that would cause the knees to shake a little bit, the reflexes, reactions to get a little bit slower, a little uncertainty on the next shot, the next pitch, the next swing. The next pass, I can understand that. But we're talking about two pretty experienced tournament run test, championship run tested teams. They've been there before. They've done it. And whether you win by 3 or 30, you know, sometimes you play your heart out. I mean your heart out. You play your very best game and you get beat on a buzzer beater. That sometimes can take it out of you more than – from the start of the game to the end, you just didn't play well and you got beat. It's just totally different. And you know, Joe, the Michael Wilbons, I like listening to him, the tents were folding, the building was collapsing. What's this Miami Heat team going to do? How are they going to do it? And what do they do, Joe? They come back and win the game big the next a couple nights later, and we got an NBA series 2-2 tie.
Yeah, I'm just I still have a Pacer hangover, and I can't watch it as much, and I hate the Heat. I can't help it. I hate them. And I've never been a big Spurs fan. Not that I hated them, I just didn't ever follow them. But I'm one of their loyalists and biggest supporters right now. So.
Well, and you know, we're also in the midst of the U.S. Open out in Marion. In Pennsylvania on the Marion Golf Course, one of the all-time leading courses in hosting the U.S. Open, and Mickelson was ahead after the first round. I'm sure things have changed up a little bit. But as we go to break here, Joe, we're going to continue with the golf theme because we've got the outstanding golfer from Jasper High School and soon-to-be Indiana Hoosier golfer, Will Sager coming up, is that correct?
Yes, it is. He's ready to go.
Yeah, we'll be excited to talk to Will and find out about the season and their run in the state tournament, where things ended up for him individually, where it ended up for the team, and his future at Indiana University when we come back on the summer edition, summer special of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee.
You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
chips. You'll get nothing and like it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're joined by Jasper Golfer, third-place finish individually in the state finals, fourth place for the team, and been a major part of this program for the last 4 years and has helped build it to where it is today. Will Segner, how you doing? Let me see. Will Segner, how you doing? Let me see here. Blog Talks always has its technical difficulties. Will, are you with us now?
I think I'm with you. I'm doing very well. How are you?
We're doing good. We got to understand it. Sometimes you click buttons on this Blog Talk radio and it doesn't click back. It doesn't understand, I guess. It doesn't have a brain. So I guess clicking
sure
it four
I
or five times
it,
finally,
so.
Finally got you.
Hey,
on,
Will,
so.
This is Coach K. Don't believe Joe. He just messed up. Hey, Will, it's good to have you on the show. And, you know, it's really – you're kind of a perfect lead-in. We're going to be talking about the Hoosier baseball team this year, and Cody Zeller just said you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show, and we just saw former Indiana basketball great Michael Lewis in town at Jasper. And here you are coming off a great golfing career at Jasper High School and moving on to Indiana University. It's just kind of a red and white, cream and crimson type weekend for everybody.
Well, that's how it should be, I think. I'm always a big supporter of the cream and crimson and IU. I love to hear Cody Zeller come on and see Tom Crean, watch the Hoosiers on ESPN now playing baseball. I always like seeing it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, it's really exciting that you're going to be a part. I know that the Sager family, Sang family, have always been big supporters of Indiana University, and knowing your mom and your dad, it does not surprise me that they've raised such a fine young man and successful in his endeavors. And I say this, Will, because and don't get a big head over this, but everybody I've talked to. And as a former coach, the one thing I really like to hear it from, or the people I really like to hear it from, are teammates. Everybody I talk to talks about what a solid person you are, what a down-to-earth person you are, what a great teammate you are. And so let me compliment you on that, because when your teammates say it, and sometimes teammates don't, when your teammates say it, that means something.
Thank you very much. I'm very proud of that. I think I'm very blessed with the two parents that I have. With you said that you grew up with them or you've met them before, but I think that I'm very lucky with the way they raised me, and I am truly blessed with the people around me, my teammates, my coaches, instructors, just everyone in Jasper. I think they all truly believe in me, and everyone's helped me a lot along my journey to Indiana University.
Yeah, and absolutely. And one thing that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, and I don't mean to push Joe out, and Joe, you can jump in anytime you want, but, you know, it's not just the high school golf season that you've gone through this past year, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about outside of the high school season and some of the things that you do to prepare to become a better golfer, the tournaments you play in and that type of thing. So first let's talk a little bit about the state championship, at least getting to the state finals, the run the team made, and a little bit about you in the high school season. Then I want to at least talk for a few minutes about some of the things you're doing outside of the high school. When you look at this team this year, I know everybody felt like this could be a strong team, a great opportunity for you guys to get back to the state finals and hopefully score high. When you went into the season, what were the keys in your mind for this team to be successful?
For this team to be successful, we had to do a few different things. I think during the year, I think everyone played a little under our expectation. We didn't win maybe one or two tournaments that we would have liked to, but I think coming into the tournament, we still had that feeling that we can do this and get it done. And I think it was the fact that during our sectional and regional, we played pretty well, and we got to our regional, and the teams in our regionals finished second, third, and fourth in the state, so we knew it was going to be tough. But whenever we got through our regional, we really believed that we could have improved a few more shots, which would have had us up there with the number one team in the state, Columbus North. And we got in there, and it's always good kind of with an NCAA tournament or any kind of tournament that you're kind of going into the finals with a high. And I felt like we did that with our team this year. And I also felt that each day leading up to it, we practiced a little bit harder and put a little bit more into it. And I think that one of the key things with our tournament run this year was our three player Drew Hine. Once it came to tournament time, he really stepped up, shot two rounds of even par in the sectional and regional, and then played really well at state. I think that if you get a couple guys that are playing really well, there's no telling what you can or can't do in the state tournament.
Does it make it easier? And I mean, I know how I would think about it, but for our younger people listening out there that play a sport and may have some opportunities to advance, whether it be golf or whatever it might be, you've had some opportunities at Jasper in golf and your teammates to advance in that tournament each year. Do you find it makes it easier for you mentally because you've, quote, unquote, been there before as you prepare and as you go into that setting? The jitters are gone. I've had this experience a little bit. I'm able to focus more on just the golf.
Yeah, I believe experience is definitely a factor. I think sometimes it's probably a little bit overrated and almost becomes an expectation. Over the last few years, we've kind of, like last year, we were expected to make the state finals, and that almost puts more pressure on you. But I think once you get a team and you feel like you really can do something and you believe in each other and you believe in yourself, I think that the experience only adds on to the help.
Now, when you were up at the state finals and playing, I guess there's roughly 30 teams up there playing. A number of these outstanding golfers in the state of Indiana, you've probably, and again, I'm not sure, but have you faced off with some of these guys through the junior golf circuit and through the tournaments in the off season of high school?
Oh yeah, very much so. I face off with a lot of these guys on a weekly basis.
Is there a lot of respect between you and those individual golfers? I mean, do you look at them and say, you know, this guy, he's tough, and he's going to be able to, when he gets back into the high school season, he's going to be able to bring that, take that team forward. I mean, are you looking at those individuals and kind of sizing them up for the high school season, or is it just more of a match by match, and I'm just going out to play the best golf I can play?
A lot of those guys, I have a ton of respect for a lot of those guys with the way they play or the way they handle themselves. But I get excited to play with them, whether we're playing in summer tournaments or high school tournaments. But I think that the way people lead their teams Some of the I play with a lot more of the ones and twos on a lot of the teams. The way that they handle themselves and lead their teams is really impressive, even whenever you're not playing in summer tournaments.
Mm-hmm. You know, Will, a lot of people are used to the team sports where, you know, football, they're out on the field together, basketball, floor together, baseball, again, the field together. In golf, you start out there as a team, but you break up into your groupings and your pairings. Is there communication between you and the other guys on the golf course during the match? Do you know what the rest of your teammates are doing out there? Are you guys kind of keeping track to make sure that you're able to accomplish the things you need to accomplish from a team standpoint as well as the individual standpoint?
It matters kind of what each match is different because some courses you go back and forth and you see each other a little bit more and you kind of talk to each other or give each other a signal of what you're at with your score. Or, I mean, I come around and I'm the last one to go through on the nine holes, so I usually check their scores as I come through and I can see them after nine. And at the state finals, you probably have a little bit more of an idea because that course does go back and forth and you see a lot of your teammates walking by. And on Tuesday and Wednesday, I had a good grasp of where our team was at and not really the individual leader, especially on the first day. I wasn't worried about that at all. It was just see what the team's at, see what we can pull this in. And the more and more I came down the stretch, I felt like it was more of an individual. I had a better chance for the individual title than the state team title because I knew that our team was struggling coming down the stretch over the last nine holes. But I knew pretty much the whole day on Wednesday where our team was at and how the individual leader was doing. But in high school golf, it's very hard to tell. You really don't know what place you're going to end up until you sign the scorecard and they put it on the leaderboard. Because it's sometimes you don't see a shot or someone doesn't tell you exactly right what they are, and it gets confusing sometimes. But for the most part, you know where your teammates are at, and whenever you walk by them, especially at the Legends, I was always trying to give these guys motivation and tell them birdie one of the next few or come in with part of the last five or something like that, just to try to get them going a little bit, even if they weren't playing the best they could.
Now, Will, you know, I don't know if you know this, you may already, but Coach Milligan is my brother, Steve, and I know, you know, he's went through some tough times in the last couple of years, but I do know that as a family, we all appreciate what you guys have always rallied around him and, you know, and just been there to support him. And, you know, you can't ask for a better team than what you guys have been as far as in that aspect as well. Tell us a little bit, you know, I don't know much about Stephen Golf. Give me a little insight into Steve Milligan as a golf coach.
Insight into Steve Milligan. Oh, Steve is
that's too hard, huh?
Steve is one of the nicest guys you will ever find on a golf course. It's tough being a golf coach because, I mean, it's not like any other sport where you can go up and just start yelling at them for something they did wrong because it's not like you tried it. I mean, it's not like you tried to miss a three-point shot at the buzzer, but it's tough in golf. If you hit one out of bounds, your coach can't just come up and yell at you because that's just not how it works. It's all about motivation and trying to get them to do the best they can, and I think Steve does that really well. Although Steve, I'll give you a little insight here. Steve doesn't tend to watch me very much whenever I'm on the golf course. Not that he needs to, because I think he needs to handle the younger kids and get them going. But he thinks he's a jinx whenever he sees me on the golf course. He thinks that whenever he comes around, I always tend to start playing a little bit worse, but which is not true at all. I think he just tries to stay away because he feels like he's going to mess something up. But that's not how he is at all. But whenever it comes to practice, Steve is always there, always watching. He doesn't always say very much, and we've kind of known that. But he's always just watched us, and I think he's kind of learned from this group, and I think he's going to try to pass that down to other groups of people, other individuals. I think he's as he said to me, there's just no one he's been around with like me and Drew. And I think he's really, really been thankful for that. And I'm very thankful for everything Steve's done for me, whether it's on the golf course or off the golf course. But I know Steve's been through some really tough times these past 4 years, whether that's freshman year, coming off everything that he went through off the course. I know that every year it seems like it's just us four or five guys that are really close, and then it's Steve's also in the group. It's not like it's the player-coach relationship where once practice is over, the coach leaves and the players go do what they want. It's we really like being around Steve, and I think Steve sees us as his children and his family, and it's a really special relationship that we have with Steve.
I think all of that, Will, just goes to the testament of how you are as a team player, and I'm sure that Coach Milligan certainly appreciates that. You know, the other part of your history as a golfer, and you're very young at this point, obviously, just ending your high school career, but I know your father, Scott, grew up with him, saw him playing. We played wiffle ball in the backyard of Lila's house, so when they were growing up. So, you know, he's a baseball player, football player, loved golf, became a solid golfer. Of course, your mom also from a golfing family. I mean, was golf, I'm sure that genetically there's just some things you just naturally picked up from it, but immediately was golf something that you were drawn to?
Not immediately. I know when as a younger kid, I used to go out with my dad and just hit balls around it, whether at the country club or any other course around here. But just kind of, he got the club in my hand early, but it wasn't anything serious. I mean, I was the usual kid that played baseball, basketball, football, just all the sports, soccer. I mean, just kind of getting a feel for everything. And I played baseball until I was probably 12 or 13 years old. And at that age, that's kind of the age where you kind of got to choose whether you want to play baseball or golf or tennis or football or, I mean, anything like that, just because they're in the same sport, they're in the same season in Indiana. So it was, for golf, I was a little bit better and I enjoyed it a little bit more. So that was one thing that kind of drew me to it. But I think I always give a lot of credit to my dad when it comes to that, for just putting the club in my hand, not forcing me to go out there. I mean, I always wanted to go out there. It's something that the mother, the father can't force something upon you like a sport, especially like golf. You got to want to be out there. And that was one thing. He put me out there, but he only put me out there. He only put me out there because I wanted to be out there.
Yeah, and I would think nothing different from that. And the other thing about golf, at least from where I stand, and I'm not much of a golfer at all, always wishing I could be, the mental part of the game, is that something that you enjoy, knowing that it's just you out there? I mean, you're in your foursome or you're playing against the field, you know, outside of the high school team concept, but when you're going into the tournaments, I mean, is it something you just truly enjoy, saying, hey, the club's in my hand, the putter's in my hand, it's all up to me in what I do and how I do it?
I like that, but I also dislike that. I mean, I love being a part of the team and the team atmosphere, and I think that's one of the things I really enjoy, whether it's with tennis or golf or anything like that, anything you play. I think I really enjoy being around my teammates. But whenever it comes to actually playing, I don't have a problem with me being the one who hits the drives and then has to hit the next shot, because I really know my game and I know my ability. And not that I wouldn't have any trust in another teammate doing anything for me, but I feel like that's just how golf is, that you're out there by yourself and you're not out there by yourself, but you really are. I mean, golf is a really weird team game, because I think the team matters more off the scene, whenever it's in practice, whether you're helping your teammates or doing anything like that. But you really have to be yourself out there and trust yourself. And that's one of the main things with the mental side of it, that you know it's just you, but there are a bunch of people around you cheering you on and rooting for you, that even when I'm out there in my individual tournaments, that I have my dad, my mom, people at home, my family, all cheering for me, whether they're looking on the internet watching the scores, or whether it's my instructor sending me a good luck text or asking me how I'm doing with it. It's really an individual game, but you have a bunch of cheerleaders or fans that are always watching.
Yeah, and speaking of accomplishments and being the guy, you also had a great high school tennis career, and now you're leaving high school and you're going on to Indiana University to golf. Where is tennis in your love of the sport games? Was it just golf is what I want to do going forward? I mean, is tennis something that you have a great love for as well? I mean, you had a great tennis career as well.
Yeah, I played 4 years of RC tennis for Coach Yarbrough, and I give a lot of credit to that with the whole tennis, my 4 years with – I give that all to Coach Yarbrough. He's another great coach, and I look at him as a father figure to me and a great role model. But tennis was always something I grew up playing, whether it was summer tennis camp that a lot of kids from Jasper go to from about – 8 to 9:30 in the morning every day during the summer, or whether it's a lot of my family plays tennis, and especially my cousins on my mom's side played tennis, and I grew up playing that, and it was one of those things where I always had a love for it, but I never had played much of it. Like, I would play during the summer a little bit, and then I'd play this tennis year or this tennis season. I never in the high school years, I never really picked up a racket from October through, I'd say, July. I never really practiced, which was, looking back at it, it would be one thing to see how good I could have been if I could have practiced a little bit with that, but then I think it would have taken away from golf. But I've always loved playing it. I think that I enjoy being with my teammate, my doubles partner, whether it's Jeff Tsang or Noah Moss or Reese Watson. I've always enjoyed being with another person. I think that's what I love about tennis. There's always someone else with you, but you're still a team, and you still control a lot of it. That's one thing I don't get with golf. But I've always enjoyed being around the team, being with Coach Yarbrough, and just being at tennis practice. It's a lot like golf, where a lot of the work is put off the scene, even though it's still, I mean, it's not really a team game, but it is. It's kind of like golf, where most of the team stuff is put off the court, or is off the, not really off the court, but you don't see it.
And in tennis,
that's special about it.
You guys want a double states championship, or is that?
We're runner up. We lost.
Yeah, you've had that just great success on both the tennis court and the golf course, and now you're going to IU. I love the Hoosiers, a graduate of Indiana University. Excited that you're going up there. What can we expect from the golfing Hoosiers these next 3-4 years? What kind of recruiting class is coming in with you, and what do they have coming back?
I think we lost 4 seniors this year of the team, and so we have 3 guys coming in my freshman class, one of them from Evansville Memorial, and one of them from Carmel, Indiana. So 3 guys, including me, from the state of Indiana. And I know Coach Mayer and Coach McCants are both really proud of that, growing up Indiana boys and bringing them through Indiana University. I think we all are really looking forward to it. I've known these guys for the last few years and play golf tournaments with them, and we're already good friends, and we're looking forward to these next few years. But I think our recruiting class is very strong, and we'll have 9 players on the team next year for 5 varsity spots, which is 9 players is very, very small for the usual team, but that's just how it ended up this year. With the recruiting class from 2014, which would be next year, we have 3 more guys that I think Coach McCants and Coach Mayer are both really proud of. So they're bringing in a lot of talent. It's just what you're gonna do with it while you're at Indiana University and how much you're gonna work for it. And I see the future being really bright with everything up there. I've always enjoyed being in Bloomington, being around their golf facilities, and I think that if everyone just keeps working hard, and I know that the two players that are coming with me have always been really hard workers, which is one thing that I'm going to be lucky to be around, that we're going to have a good group. And just obviously the studies, I think that we're all going to be working hard, pushing each other, whether that's on the course or in the classroom. And I think it's going to be a great 4 years, and it should be an awesome time. I'm looking forward to getting up there, and hopefully we can get Indiana University a couple Big Ten titles.
It's going to be an exciting time, and I know your mom and dad, Scott and Becky, as well as all the Jasper community, so many of them love the Hoosiers anyway. They're going to have fun following your progress and your success up there. I know I have a daughter, Paige, who just graduated from Memorial High School here in Evansville, and she'll be a freshman up there, and I'll make sure that she's checking up and seeing how the golf team's doing. Will, it was a pleasure to talk with you. You've been very, very successful through the young years of your life. You've got a lot ahead of you, and I know you're going to go up to Indiana. You're going to make Hoosier fans proud, and you're going to continue to make the Jasper community proud. But most importantly, you've got your head on straight, and you understand the difference between competing and enjoying it and the things it takes to be successful. Good luck to you, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to spend a couple minutes and finish up the Jasper Golf run with Jasper Golf Coach Steve Milligan. We'll be back on the summer special of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
Hey, I just want to say to all you other drivers out there, if you smell a delicious, crispy smell after the race, it's not your tailpipe. It's a little bit of shake.
And then bake.
Shake and bake. That's our nickname.
Get used to hearing it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the summer special edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're shaking and baking with the Jasper High School golf season. And right now we should have with us the outstanding golf coach of the Jasper High School golf program, Steve Milligan. Coach Milligan, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you, but what else can I say? You just talked to...
you know what?
I don't know what else I can say.
I apologize that...
Will said it all.
he was outstanding. Will was outstanding, and I was going to say I apologize that we didn't get to you a little sooner, but Will was just so good with communicating with us about the team and his time, and he's not your typical high school kid that answers your questions with one or two words, and then you don't hear anything else. You should be very proud of that young man, and I'm sure you are.
No, that's the kind of gentleman he is. He that's exactly what you said is exactly what the kind of boy he is. He's the greatest gentleman I've ever had coaching. He is just a super gentleman, and that's just the way he is, and that's the kind of gentleman he was when he was a freshman until now. And I'm just glad to give Indiana University that kind of person, and it's just great to. I'm just proud to sent him on to Indiana, but I'm going to miss him so much.
And Coach, you've been in the game a long time, and before you were coaching, you were around athletics forever with your father, Dick, and growing up around Jasper. And I know when I was going through high school and playing basketball, and you were always around. Isn't that, from a coaching standpoint, at least on my part, and I would assume your part, isn't that the refreshing thing about coaching when you have an outstanding, he's a gifted player, and he's around a long time, and it doesn't become a grudge match between the coach and the player as the years go on. It just becomes a good, solid relationship of trust, consideration, and a mutual respect for each person's position on the team.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, that's exactly right. He's what made Jasper Golf what it made us, because, you know, when practice got over, he made the boys, he didn't make the boys practice longer. The boys went and practiced longer because they wanted to stay in practice, because Will Sager was the one that wanted to practice longer. So they saw that kind of ethic. So they went and practiced because they saw what he did.
Yeah, and I know from the time, my time in coaching and the brief time playing and just at the high school level, but in coaching and working with players at some of the different camps and the Nike All-American camp where some of the great players were going to come through for basketball, you could always tell that difference, because great players, in my opinion, there are great players who have talent, but the real great players make the other people around them better. And Will, what you're saying is Will Sager was one of those guys that he not only led by example, but the example he set caused others to want to get better, and because of that, he helped make players better.
That's exactly right. You know, and you know that's what made this team better, and you know, and you know, the Will Sager's made all the players better, and you know, I hope that the young kids for the future will see that you know, Will is the role model of this team.
You know, Coach, you know, we talked a little bit about Will, and we talked with Will. I asked him about having been there before, does it make it a little bit easier? You know, you've been with the program a long time now, and you've had great success, more success than any golf coach has had in a time period similar at Jasper. When you get to advance to the state finals, or you advance to the regional round, do you find the experience of getting there, and I think I know the answer, but I think a lot of people may wonder, do you find the experience of getting there, it makes it a little bit easier as far as being able to focus in on the things you need to do to try to get up to the top of that leaderboard as a team and eventually win that thing?
Well, you see, this year they kind of changed changed our regional round that made it a little tougher to get to the state. You know, we went from Montgomery regional to Champion Point regional, which made it tougher to get to the state. Once we got to the Champion Point regional, when we got out of that one, it made it a little easier. Then when we got there, I felt a lot more comfortable when we got to the state finals.
For the change, did they give any specific reasons for cutting that line and sending Jasper in a different direction?
They cut it to 5 regionals instead of 7 regionals. And I was kind of upset about it, but once I got there, I felt more comfortable once we got to the state, because it made us more challenging for us. And but it made us more ready for the state finals when we got up there.
But, yeah, I think the fact that a lot of the teams you would have seen in the other regional, you would have played them, a lot of them during the year, you probably were running into some different competition in this new regional format. I did find it a little funny, though, that You know, Jasper's what, 35 minutes away from Washington, where the other regional site was played.
Right, and then we had to go an hour and 45 minutes. But number two, the team that ended up number two, team that ended up number three, and the team that ended up number four was in the champion point in the state.
Okay.
So it didn't work for whatever they did that for. It didn't work for the IHSA. I should say that. I shouldn't say that. That I shouldn't be picking on them. I wasn't picking on them.
Well, you know, in the last few years, you can pick on the IHSA a lot because a lot of the things they do don't make any sense. For example, having Jasper play the night game tonight in the 3A baseball state championship when everybody knows that Jasper travels with a crowd better than probably any school in the state, and having them play on Saturday would have made a lot more sense. But again, the IHSA is not the organization it used to be, but we got to be careful. We got to be nice, right, Coach?
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, it still kept I that's right. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying is, you know, we got there, we represented Southern Indiana the way we're supposed to represent them, and we did exactly what we wanted to do. We represented, like the coaches from that was in that region said that we represented exactly what we wanted to do. Is we got 2, 3, and 4, and Westfield got first, but Southern Indiana represented what we wanted to represent.
Oh, no doubt about it. It was an outstanding finish for teams from south of Bloomington or so. Will Sager's interview, he talked a little bit about his team, and he particularly brought up one teammate who he said just really stepped up and played well, and that's when he realized this team could really maybe make some noise going forward. Drew Hine. He was
Drew
very
Hine.
Complimentary of Drew's play during the year. Talk a little bit about Drew, another senior on the team, and what he brought to this group that made it to a top four finish in the state champions.
Yeah, Drew Hine, he had an outstanding tournament run. He played outstanding. He just picked his game up and said, "Hey, I'm coming with you." Will and him
and
both played.
That, we see this in sports a lot, Coach. You never should count somebody out. It just takes a round, a game, a shot, a run, whatever it might be in the sport, to click something in a young man or a young woman, and then they start playing the way they're capable of playing.
Yeah, I mean, Drew's picked up his game where he says, "I'm coming." But see, the thing is, the last day of the term of his last shot, last hole, he took a double bogey on the last hole. And if he wouldn't have done that, he would have been he'd been under par for that day. But he took a double bogey in that hole.
And when you look at the rest of that group of five guys, it's nice as a coach, and you've actually had this now for a couple of years. But here goes Will Sager and Drew Hine, and they're graduating. They've had a great career. But you actually had three underclassmen playing up there in the state championship finals, Cam Wire, Jacob Bartley, and Reed Lori.
Yeah, I mean, now I got it. And, you know, I just got to pick up a couple more kids and Jacob Bartley and Cam Wire will be my I hate to say it, my leaders next year. Let's just say my how can I make this sound right? My clowns. I'll just say it that way. They're gonna be my leaders, but they're gonna be my clowns. that'd be funny, but we've always laughed about that, but that's gonna be my clowns. But,
well, you know, and that's the great thing about the group, and I could sense that in Will about you as their leader, as their coach. There's a great confidence and yet a great relaxed spirit among the group, and you bring that to them. They feel confident. They feel good. They want to be out there, and they feel like they've got your support regardless of how the scores come out.
But the thing is they're great kids. And I love every one of them to death, and I always treat them like my own kids, and on and off the court, and that's the way we always got to do it, because once we don't treat them like that, we are, you know, I don't put any pressure on him. I want him to have fun out there. To a point.
When you look back at the
sometimes last... Sometimes I got to pull Cam and Jacob back a little bit. And say, boys, we got to get a little bit more serious about that.
Coach, when you look at the last decade of Jasper golf and the different success levels and some of the solid play, I mean, you've had really solid players who've gone on to have good, solid careers on the college level. What is it about the golf program, the community at Jasper that has allowed the golf program to start reaching this next level? I mean, when I was there in high school, when I was there coaching basketball, the golf team was always competitive. Don't get me wrong. They were always competitive. But they never had the sustained consistency where they're reaching the heights in the rankings and the tournament level that you've been able to provide for the last 10 years. What's different? What's going on within the program that's allowed that to happen?
I think the kids are getting a little bit more excited about coming out for golf, getting to the next level to play, and they did see the excitement of playing and to win. And to and see the success of winning in the last 8-10 years, and that brings more kids out playing, and I think that's the key word, is see the success of winning.
Yeah, and the success that the winning brings, and they, like you just said, Coach, seeing other kids go on and get a play at the next level, it gives you another venue or another avenue to have an opportunity to go to the college level, get some help financially to go to school, and also get to do something you love. And where it used to be just basketball or football or baseball, it has to be noted that on the high school level, both girls and boys, tennis, golf, softball, all these sports have opportunities for young men, the young females to move forward, get some help financially in college, and continue to play a competitive sport.
And then you know, you're talking about Eric Skillman's. You know, he was in that first years I was coaching, and then Eric Hooper, and then the Will Sagers. You know, Will Sager. You know, there was mm-hmm. there's some pretty good golfers in those years. You know. You know, with Will coming in those 4 years, you know, that's some pretty good golfers coming in with those guys, and you know, one or two golfers, you know, I brought in one or two golfers every year, and that really helps out a lot. You got to just bring one or two in each year. You don't need to bring in, you know, four or five. You just got to bring in one or two in each class. That's the key word.
Yeah, and Coach, I think that you've proven that you're just looking for a couple guys who can step it up mentally and physically, make the commitment, mix in well with the group that you've got, and nobody has to be dominant other than going out there and playing the way they're capable of playing. You know, Coach, you've gone through, and I know you don't want to talk much about it because you're not about yourself. You're one of the most humble guys, I know you've gone through a lot of physical difficulties the past few years. Won't get in deep with it, but with all that you've gone through, it seems like leading this golf program and having these golfers and their families and the things around you, it seems like that probably was the best medicine you could have had.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the best medicine I could have had. You know, that's the best medicine that keeps me going every day. Just like I said to these boys, you know, that they are my family, and that's what keeps me going every day. You know, the hard part now is I'm not going to be able to see them every day. And I told them, please come back and see me, you know, once in a while, because like yesterday I went, where are they at? It's 3:30 practice. Nobody's here to see me. It's practice time.
Coach, you've been someone in my life as well for many, many years. I always had great respect for you. When I was in high school, you were a few years older than me, and you were always there to help out, support us, and take us places. And whatever it took, and I certainly can see why you have gained
okay,
such
respect.
Okay,
should we repeat something when we snuck in and looked at the gym every Saturday or Sunday?
Whatever it took, wasn't it? It was whatever it took.
We made sure we looked in that gym.
Coach, you just celebrated a birthday.
Yeah.
You don't like to talk about birthdays anymore. You get
that gym
too much.
Every Saturday or Sunday, remember?
We had a great time. That was a lot of fun. Well, I appreciate you being on, Coach Milligan. And again, congratulations to just an outstanding season. Will Sager, the group, Drew Hine, you've got some guys coming back. And I am sure that the Jasper community can look forward to some future successes on that golf course.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Kurt Gucksel from WBDC is going to join us, and we're going to start talking about the Indiana Hoosiers who are going to Omaha College World Series. In fact, they're out there right now getting ready for their matchup, and then after that, we'll be talking 3A baseball state championship as well as 2A baseball state championship on the Coach K and Joe Show Summer Special Edition. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Mr. Kirby, I think I have a way out of this. We call the police, and we have them send over one of their sketch artists. And this ball breaker can give a discretion. We can put up wanted posters all over town. Have you seen this, Frank? Report immediately to be with the ball breaker. Do not attempt to apprehend this prick, as it is armed and dangerous.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're joined by DC Broadcasting Sports Director Kurt Gucksel. Kurt, I know IU's in it, but, you know, U of L also, we've also got a few other local ties there as well.
Yeah, they're in it as well. Joe, Coach, after your little break this summer, it's good to be back with you guys. I don't know how I can follow up that cinematic classic in Porky's, but I'll try. You guys are on your game today.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we've got the Hoosiers going to Omaha. First time ever, and the first Big Ten team in like 29 years or something like that. Kurt, it's an exciting time in Bloomington. No matter what sport, everything seems to be clicking right now.
Well, it's real exciting for the Indiana baseball program. And they, you know, down through the years, they were like an afterthought, even in the Big Ten, much less nationally, but they got a new ballpark, which is unbelievable. They're the southernmost school in the Big Ten, and you know the value of, and I'm not being a slappy or a homer, you know the value of an Indiana education to get guys into school, and everything's coming together at once, and they've got players, they've got a hardworking coaching staff, they got that brand new ballpark, and they were good last year, and it's come to a head this year, where they are one of the sweepers. They and U of L, the team that are going to play, they're talking about them being the sweeper team because those teams don't beat themselves. But as far as the excitement in Bloomington for baseball, it's unbelievable. They're riding high right now, and rightfully so. They're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, the Hoosiers are taking on Louisville. Louisville's 51-12, and the Hoosiers are 48-14. They have played earlier this season, Kurt, with the Hoosiers taking 2 out of 3 from the Redbirds.
Well, they should have beat them three times, but they made a couple of errors late, and that was one of their goals, to win that series with Louisville. They met down in Florida. They also met in Bloomington and at Jim Patterson Stadium in Louisville, and Indiana took 2 out of 3, and they'll play another time starting tomorrow night at 8 in Omaha.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. As we said when we started, this is the first trip for the Hoosiers to Omaha. Let's hear what Tracy Smith, Coach Tracy Smith of the Hoosiers, said earlier this week when he met the media. Just a second here.
Omaha, and that's the good thing, and it's the bad thing, because you don't really say, let's go win a national championship. Everybody says, let's get to Omaha. Well, now we're at Omaha, and so it's like we've had to readjust our goals, and our goals are to win this thing. The preparation piece of it, as I said, probably couldn't have been better. I mean, people are saying, are your guys going to be intimidated with the venue? Not going to be intimidated with the venue. We played in big stadiums. Are you going to be intimidated with the crowd? I don't know if you were following the Super Regional last year, but that was the most hostile crowd ever. So I think the ingredients are right. We've prepared. We've done everything within our power to put ourselves in a position to be successful in Omaha once we get there. So our kids, I can tell you, are looking at this as an unbelievable opportunity. We're proud to be representing Indiana. It's been fun for our guys. All the talk and chatter about Indiana baseball, haven't heard that in a while. So we're going to do our best to take advantage of this opportunity and represent our school, our state, and really all the alumni across the country and play some good baseball while we're in Omaha.
So there was Tracy Smith, and, you know, he said, you know, is the venue something that's going to be intimidating? Well, he doesn't think so, and I know that earlier this week when they had a practice, it didn't go well. They had a team meeting afterwards, and they said, was this the kind of practice we needed to have? The team was from one to the end of the roster, no, and they went back out later on and started working again. They are not going to Omaha for the show. They are going to compete and have an opportunity to play for a championship.
But I think that's the mindset you got to have, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about Jasper baseball later on. And whether it be baseball, you know, the goal is to get to Victory Field in high school baseball, or Conseco Field out in basketball, or Lucas Oil in football. You hear a lot of teams talk about that. Sometimes they don't kick it into gear once they get there to actually win the game. And the Indiana's taking this thing where we're going to go after a national championship, because everybody's, Tracy Smith talked about, is the goal is to get to Omaha. Now you've got to go out there with the mindset to win and do the things that you've done all season long to win that championship. And, again, they're very good. It's no fluke that they're there. So now they've got to carry it from getting to their goal to readjusting their goal to win it all.
Yeah, and this team, you say there, it's not a fluke that they're there. It's not. I mean, this team has pitched well, and Coach Smith, his background is in the pitching area, but as far as a pitching coach, but he's assembled a pretty strong, hard hitting team, a team that has out homered their opponents, I think, like 3-1. Hit the ball well, outstanding team batting average. This is a team that has won games. You could almost call them the comeback kids in the tournament, pre-tournament round before going to Omaha. Their bats brought them back and put them in position to get victories.
There's no doubt about it. They're reminiscent of the old kind of college baseball before the bat restriction. It's unbelievable what they're doing in offense that's in college baseball, which is down. They're still putting up double-digit runs in games. And it's kind of a throwback to baseball. When you can outscore teams that aren't that proficient offensively and mix in that pitching, it's a great thing for your team. I mean, they've got guys up and down that lineup. Schwarber, the catcher, he hits in the tool hole. A very prominent hitter. Travis was the MVP of the Big Ten tournament and the regional. He plays first base. Dustin Muth, drafted by the Twins, he's at third. And Casey Smith, Tracy Smith's son, was a all-region performer, all-Big Ten tournament performer. Curtin in center field, an Indiana kid out of Cathedral, made some great catches in the Indiana sub-regional. And he's a very good bottom-of-the-lineup hitter. They had him batting leadoff earlier, but they've kind of flip-flop he and another guy. So they've basically got two leadoff guys, one in the one spot and one in the nine spot. And you're right, Coach. They are offensively one of the best teams in the country, because not only do they hit for power, they've got good gap power, and they also don't make mistakes when they want to move runners up or hit behind runners. They can play that small ball, but they can also set the table and get some guys up there, the big boppers, to hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah, 452 slugging percentage as a team, batting 305 as a team. Their opponents only 249. They've just really done a good job. They've only given up 18 home runs this year to their opponents versus 53 for the Hoosiers. They've been a good fielding team. They've really done the things they need to do. And it's interesting, you brought up their catcher, Kyle Schwarber, I believe a sophomore, hitting 376. He's got 18 homers, 54 RBIs. Here's a guy, Kurt, who's an Ohio guy and has ties, family ties to Ohio State. And Ohio State was just a little bit slow getting in touch with him. And Coach Smith goes in there, offers him after the first visit. Kyle doesn't hold. He doesn't waste any time. He says yes to the Hoosiers. And Ohio State was slow to pick up what has turned out to be one heck of a player for the Indiana Hoosiers.
Well, there's no doubt. Tracy Smith has the Ohio ties. He was the head coach at Miami of Ohio. Ty Neal, his assistant, coached with him and played at Miami, who's now taking this University of Cincinnati job when the Hoosier run is over. They've got five or six Ohio guys, which has always been a good recruiting area for Indiana. So they've hit the jackpot with Schwarber, and they may be getting some more Ohio guys here in the near future. So, yeah, they've done well in the Queen City.
You know, that Miami of Ohio has been a heck of a place for Indiana to find solid coaches from, not just in baseball but in different sports. We've been able to reach over into that Mac Arena-type conference and pull out some great coaches coming up to the next level. And Coach Smith, he really has done a great job of building this program. He's had to take some different pieces. When he came in, he got it going. They lost a bunch to the draft, and they had to retool, and they've done that. And as you said, they've got just an outstanding baseball facility now. Almost $20 million was spent putting it together. And this is the next question I would throw at you, Kurt. You know, the Big Ten is making strides in baseball. There's no doubt about it. Purdue had the great year last year, down this year. But overall, baseball in the Big Ten continues to be under the radar, yet is gaining national prominence. And I have to tell you, if you go through the Big Ten schools and you start looking at what's going on at the schools, they're building new stadiums or they're renovating, putting millions of dollars into renovation. You've got the Big Ten Network showing games. More people are able to see them, and they're showing the games against big-time opponents like Arkansas and nationally ranked teams like that. The visibility and the facilities definitely make the Big Ten baseball conference future look bright.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Purdue's got their new Alexander Stadium. That is unbelievable. Ohio State has a nice facility. Michigan State, they have upgraded. Michigan, they've upgraded. They're going to continue to upgrade. And that's the big thing about getting baseball players. It is facilities, even like that in basketball, your practice arena, your training, your academic centers. We talked about all that. But what Indiana has done, what Stony Brook last year and Kent State has done, that is unbelievable, because baseball in the north and in the east is so far behind as far as getting the season started. When you're in Florida, you're in California, you're in Oklahoma, you're in Texas, you can play baseball practice as soon as guys get back from Christmas break. And you can do that in Indiana, Purdue, and in Michigan State and Illinois as well, but you're going to be inside. And there was talk about, you know, making the season start later. But, of course, the Southern and the Western schools fought that as well. So it's going to be hard to change that. But they are so far behind the eight ball on that. And to do what Indiana's done and to do what Kent State has done or Stony Brook last year is unbelievable. And you know, I know it's just talk, but if you're in the arena and you follow it like these coaches do and like I follow baseball, to do what they're doing is unbelievable. Because can you imagine, you know, not being able to practice basketball when other schools have been doing it a month and a half, and then you're going to be asked to go on the road for the first 30 baseball games that you play because you can't play at home because it's too cold. And, again, to do what they're doing, I mean, it's not excuses. That is just the fact. Indiana played 27 games before they played a home game. You know, and that's like that for all these schools. And, you know, they will go not only on a spring training trip like, you know, like U of E or anybody used to do, you're going 3 or 4 weekends on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday down to these places or out west before you got your home games. So, again, I'm going to hats off to Indiana and some of these other schools that have done it.
And as you look at that and you see the improvements, I think this is what makes baseball exciting for the future as far as national prominence on the college level, where it's always had it on the major league level. It kind of reminds me of the NCAA when they started expanding the tournament from 16 teams to 32, even though people question it. It just drew a bigger audience because more opportunity was there for teams to play. I'm not saying that that's happening because the NCAA tournament. I'm saying because of these facilities, the visibility of the teams, more good players willing to go to different schools, not just the same warm weather schools that they've gone to before. I think it's going to make baseball on a college level pretty darn exciting. And it might even encourage a few of these young men who just go ahead and bypass college and go ahead and take a small signing bonus and go on to the pro level to go ahead and give college baseball a try and maybe improve their future at least after baseball.
There's no doubt about it. And the college game not only helps you on the field, but it teaches you a little bit of responsibility and how to act as a human being. And you know, you'll talk to any of the guys that have played pro ball. As soon as you sign that contract, it's dog eat dog, and people don't care about you. They'll steal your equipment. They'll take your stuff. They'll try to take your job. But in college, you kind of get that little adaption period that, you know, I mean, your kids have found out. You know, get away from home. You know, learn a little bit about stuff. And in doing that, and still playing good, solid college baseball, good college basketball, whatever, it's that middle ground between going from high school to the pros that some kids really, really like and really, really need and really, really enjoy and, in fact, thrive, you know, once they go through that.
Well, I know as I look at, you know, being an IU alum and seeing the baseball program have this kind of success, I was stunned statistically when I saw it was the first Big Ten team in nearly 30 years to be going out to Omaha, and it just tells you just what a small little pool those teams that get to make the trip to Omaha are. I mean, I remember my brother John playing with Andy Bennis, Jimmy Berger, my brother-in-law, for the Evansville Aces when they had that opportunity. But to really put it in perspective, these guys weren't even alive the last time a Big Ten team was out there.
Well, yeah, and you're right. And it's still the good old boys system as well. Indiana had a sub-regional. Okay, you go at it. I mean, they did put Florida in there, but it wasn't a powerhouse Florida team. They barely got in the tournament. Austin Peay was there as well and playing in there. And I forget the other team. I was there, but I forgot. Oh, Valparaiso. But,
yeah, Valpo.
Your reward for winning your sub-regional and being 48-14 and being one of the best teams in the country, well, you've got to go to Tallahassee and play 2 out of 3. Same way with Louisville. Dan McDowell, you're doing a great job. You're one of the best teams in the country, but you've got to go to number one seed Vanderbilt and play. And look what both those teams did. So they kind of have the 8 teams that they kind of want to go, that ESPN wants to see there. And sometimes guys crash the party, like I said, Kent State and Stony Brook did last year, and to a certain extent, you know, Indiana does this year and Louisville does. I mean, they want the Stanfords, the LSUs, the, you know, the Vanderbilts, the Carolinas, both South and North, all those two teams had to play each other. But they kind of have it set up where if everything goes as chalked, they'll have a great 8-team field that everybody knows about, and it's the traditional baseball powers. But sometimes, you know, guys crashed the party, and now Indiana has done that. Now they're going to try to perhaps maybe next year be a number one seed with everybody, or, you know, a top 8 seed where they could perhaps host a super regional. But, again, it's set up, again, I mean, I don't – it's not an excuse, but it's set up for the big boys in Indiana, Louisville, teams like that are getting in there, and it's great.
Yeah, but, and before we end that this segment, I definitely want to talk a little bit about the Hoosiers matchup with Louisville. You know, I listened to Coach Smith earlier in the week when he had his press conference, and he talked about in the past Louisville, they do have a model program. It's something he talked about. You know, in this area, it's a solid program, and it's a recruiting competitor for sure. And Louisville in the past has laid it on Indiana. They've had some tough losses, and that's why going into this year, you're exactly right. That was one of the focuses: win the series versus Louisville, win the series versus these Cardinals. And the Hoosiers were able to do that. Now they find themselves meeting in Omaha. Louisville, as I said earlier, 51-12, just a great record. The Hoosiers, a great record at 48-14. The Hoosiers, a strong hitting team, solid pitching, but, and I haven't seen all the scores in the tournament, Kurt, but it seemed like it has been the bats that have allowed the Hoosiers to get to this point. Is that a concern from a pitching standpoint for them as they get ready to tee it up in Omaha?
Well, I think it's a concern against Indiana's high-powered offense, which you touched upon, against the very, very, very good Louisville pitching staff that went into Vanderbilt and shut them down. Those scores weren't the high scores. Those were 2-1, 4-3. Louisville's got great starting pitching. They've got great relief pitching to bridge the gap, and they've got a good closer or two. So, you know, it's almost like Louisville's strength against Indiana's strength. You know, the hitting against Louisville's pitching. On the flip side, Louisville, a pretty good hitting team. Indiana, a pretty good pitching team. They're going to start Joey Donato in the first game, and then they've got guys behind him in a starting role like Sliders, their 6'10 kid, and Will Carson Carr, the freshman out of Fort Wayne. But that's what I'm going to look for. Can Indiana impose their will against the good pitching of Louisville, whether that means, you know, get guys on base and have Schwarber, Travis, and Demuth drive them in, or is it going to be some of those guys setting the table with some bunting game, with some running, and see where they go from there? I mean, that's the main thing that I'm going to be looking for. Can Indiana's offense find a way to beat that pitching?
Yeah, Donato comes in. I believe he's 9-2 right now with a 2.76 ERA. We need a strong outing. I know Coach Smith talked about he really felt like he had deserved the opportunity to go up against the Cardinals. He's had some success with them in the past. He's got strong numbers on the year. He's got 40 walks, 79 strikeouts, in giving up 93 hits in about 94 innings pitched. I think, you know, the Hoosiers got to get people on bases, as you said, and he's got to hold the – he's got to hold the fort down on the mound, because if it comes down to Louisville having a strong pitching outing, and we can play some small ball or move some people or get a big home run somewhere in the mix, we've got to keep them from matching us run for run. Because as Coach Smith said when he talked with the media, boy, it's a lot nicer when you're not playing match inning for inning, and you've got a little bit of a lead, or at least you've got something on your side working for you as you go out each inning, and it's not just a inning for inning match.
Yeah, and that's what it's been like in their games so far, whether it be in the super or the sub regional or the super regional, because you're playing good teams, and that's what usually happens. But if you can get a cushion, that would be great. But you know what? I'm looking forward to it. For a guy that loves college baseball and loves the College World Series, I mean, this is my NFL. I mean, and I love when these local teams are in it, and that's what's going to be great about this College World Series starting tomorrow at 8.
You know, Kurt, and you, when you think back about it, and for all our listeners, this is how strange sports is. It's kind of like the NBA Finals. Spurs win by 30, and everybody thinks, oh, the Heat are falling apart. Heat come back and win 15 or 20. But if things go a little bit differently against Valpo, think back on this. Valpo has a lead. Pretty much the game, they bring in a lights-out closer, and Indiana ends up with some big hits and ends up winning the game. It could all totally be different if not for that first-round game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was there. I saw the comeback. It was awesome. They were down 4-1, couldn't do anything against Valpo's starting pitcher. He was just thumbing it up there. But Indiana made a couple of errors in the top of the ninth to make that a 4-1 game, but, you know, a couple hits there, a couple, you know, bad defensive plays by Valpo, and next thing you know, a guy that hasn't hit a home run all year pounds it out, and Tracy Smith talked about after that game, it's just, you know, you hate baseball, then you love baseball. You know, you hate, you know, basketball, you love basketball. All in 5 minutes, not to mention a whole game or a whole season. You know, that's sports, so, you know. Especially in college baseball, that's the way it goes. And you know, and I think when we talk about the game tonight with the Jasper thing, there's going to be runs in those. There's runs in every sporting event. How do you handle those? Do you pack it in, or do you fight through that run? Because you know, at this point, you're going to play a good team. It's not going to be easy. So they're going to make the run. Now you're going to have to make a run, or you're going to make a run, and then you better expect them to come fighting back, because that's what you're dealing with the teams you're playing at this level of baseball or the NBA or whatever you're playing right now at this stage of the season.
Yeah, real quickly before we go to break, it is Father's Day weekend coming up, and Coach Smith is pretty fortunate. His son Casey is playing with the Hoosiers, and after battling some injuries over the years, and he's having a pretty decent year, and Coach Smith talked about how much fun it is outside of being the head coach, outside of having his team out at Omaha, to be knowing he's going to be going on the field with his son and not just sitting in the stands watching. Pretty exciting way to spend Father's Day, huh?
Well, that's great. I'm happy for Casey because he's fought some injuries, and he was put in a very weird predicament. He didn't play his senior year at Bloomington North at Christmas, like a lot of these football guys do. They go on campus for spring practice. He actually graduated from high school as a senior at the break and went right to IU to play baseball because they were so depleted after the draft, after they had that good season in 2009. Monarch after South Professionals guys left in the draft. Smith went from Bloomington North in December to actually throwing some innings as a freshman. And Tracy Smith, it wasn't even fair for him to even have to do that because he was obviously not ready, but that's what we asked him to do, and he did it. So now it's come full circle. He's a position player, and he just didn't get that position handed to him. He came out this season. He wasn't a starter, but every time he pinch hit, every time he did something, it was positive. And now he's a guy that was on the all Big Ten tournament team, all sub-regional team. So, you know, it's going to be a great Father's Day, and no matter what happens for Coach Smith, because again, it's not easy coaching your son or daughter in these situations because you're usually hard on them as you are any other players or whatever. But it makes it certainly gratifying when they're a key member. You don't have to worry about that. He's just playing or she's just playing because the dad's the coach. So it's going to be great for them.
Yeah, it is going to be exciting. The Hoosiers taking on the Louisville Cardinals out in Omaha. Hoosiers 48-14, and the Louisville Cardinals, you know, coming off a national championship in basketball, now playing in Omaha for the College World Series opportunity at 51-12. We're going to get ready to go to break. When we cut, Kurt, make sure you stay with us because we want to talk Jasper baseball in a little bit. But when we come back on the Coach K and Joe Summer Special Edition, we're going to be talking with Steve Culp, the voice of the South Spencer Rebels, who are also playing in the state finals this weekend, and they'll be playing in the 2A state championship against Northfield, the Northfield Norsemen in the Class 2A baseball high school state championships in Indiana. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Rebels with Steve. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
See if you can guess what I am now. I'm a zit. Get it?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. Coach, real quick, when you hear that, guess what I am now, what high school classmate of ours do you think of? Do you think of anybody in particular?
that discussion might be for another time.
Okay. Hey, well, you know, hey, we're, you know, it's a big weekend for Southern Indiana baseball teams. You know, Vincennes, Reveille, Jasper, and South Spencer all playing for the big crown. And we've got the voice of Spencer County sports. He's, if you want to know anything about Heritage Hills or South Spencer sports or want to listen to him, all you got to do is plug into 103.3 and listen to a quality call by Steve Cold. Steve, how you doing today?
Good, Joe. Coach, guys, good to be with you again. Thanks for having me on.
Steve, it's an exciting time down there in Rockport and Rio. They've got a state championship game that they're getting ready to play.
Yeah, it's quite a story for South Spencer, because this was not expected for this group. This was sort of supposed to be a rebuilding year in Rio and Rockport. Just three seniors on the team, not a huge amount of varsity experience coming back. Now, obviously, there's talent there, but certainly I don't know that anybody went into this season expecting a run to Victory Field for this Rebel group this year.
Well, our South Spencer is sitting at 22-8. They're taking on the Northfield Norsemen, and that'll be a Saturday game up at Victory Field. And what has been the two or three keys? How did this team find a way? And it's not like it doesn't happen, but it's always exciting when it happens, when you think a team, you know, we're probably a player away, a pitcher away. We're not sure we can drive in the runs and get the runs when we need them. What was it about this team that got them in a position to turn the corner?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. I think, first of all, defensively, Coach Keister will tell you, middle of the season, this team started really playing good defense. And anytime you've got a young pitching staff, with the exception of their ace, Brandon Lair, they're a very young and experienced pitching staff. And anytime you've got a team playing good defense, it helps those guys settle down. And the defense has been very good from about midseason on. Offensively, these guys have come on all season long. It's not a team that's going to scare you with the long ball. There's not a huge amount of power there, but they put good, disciplined at-bats up there. And they work pitchers from top of the order to the bottom, and that's been a key. And then real honestly, in the postseason, the key has been Brandon Lair, their number one starting pitcher, one of their three seniors. He has been unbelievable, and he's not a guy that goes out there and wows you with overwhelming-looking stuff, but he hits corners, he keeps the ball low, he changes speeds, he changes eye levels, and he's just rock solid. Not a lot bothers him. You'll never know whether he's happy or unhappy with the last pitch he's thrown, because his expression never changes. He just goes out there. He doesn't strike a lot of guys out. In fact, in that win against Park Tudor in the Semistate, a 2-0 victory, that was a nail-biter all the way through. The only strikeout he had was on the last batter of the game. So he gets guys to put it in play, and he's got a good defense behind him. And in the postseason, what have they played now? Six games, and he's got the victory in five of them, a couple of complete game victories and starts, and a couple of relief appearances to pick up victories. He's just been unbelievable on the mound for them, and he's been, in the postseason, the key for this team.
Well, we're talking about a program that has at least some rich history when it comes to the baseball state finals and playoffs. This is a school that's won a couple of state championships.
Right, and huge amount of success prior to that, even though they didn't win state championships. This team's as a smaller school back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, put very good baseball teams on the field and had a lot of success with sectional and regional championships down through the years. And, because I think that's a big part of it, too. I mean, these guys go out there and they expect they take the field expecting to win. And I don't mean that they don't go out cocky, thinking that they can just, as our buddy Kurt Guxel would say, they could just throw the jersey on the ground and you know, the other team's going to fold and say, okay, you get the victory. They don't go out there that way, but they go out believing that if they play their style of baseball and play well, they're going to win against most anybody. And that certainly is a, you know, is a function of the program. And, you know, the key to that program is they've been playing high school baseball at South Spencer since 1967. That was the year of the consolidation. And they've had three head coaches in baseball in that time, Bill Evans, Jim Hoff, and now Brian Keister. And all three outstanding top-of-the-line coaches. And they've just developed and continued that continuity through that program over that nearly 40 years.
Now, you take a look at their matchup against Northfield. Northfield comes in 29-3. One of the things that I thought was a little glaring, and maybe you can, I think you talked a little bit about this, that they don't, that South Spencer isn't going to wow you with any certain statistical area. I look at Northfield. They've got 25 home runs this year, and South Spencer has five, and the ERA for the Norsemen as a team is 2.66. 4.37 for the Rebels. I kind of look at some of the statistical information on both sides, and right now, and again, we're just looking at stats. We're not talking about the play on the field. Right now, it looks like it's weighted towards Northfield as far as the team coming in and the team to beat.
You're right. Those stats do look that way. I don't think South Spencer would deny that either. Now, some of it is where you play and things like that, the home run totals. South Spencer will never try to be a home run hitting team simply because of their home field. Joe Hargis Field in Rockport is maybe the largest high school field in the state of Indiana by dimensions. You know, there's a spot out there in deep center that's 417 feet away from home plate. So they've never been a home run hitting team and probably will never try to be just simply for that reason. But, Northfield's pitcher, it looks extremely dominant on his stat line, the Faber kid. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He beat Mater Dei in the state championship game last year. And the thing that stands out that is kind of hard to wrap your mind around if you have any background in baseball whatsoever is that in 90 and the third innings, he has struck out 174 batters. Now, that is striking out two out of every three outs you get in while you're on the mound. Two out of every three outs is a strikeout. That is hard to fathom. Now, I do understand he's not blowing guys away with a fastball necessarily. He's got an excellent breaking ball, and that's been his outpitch from what I understand. So we'll see how South Spencer can handle that. They faced a guy in Rex from Park Tudor last Saturday that had a very good fastball and tried to follow that up with a breaking ball, but that fastball was his outpitch, and South Spencer was able to they struck out a lot in that game. They were also able to get a lot of guys on base and see a lot of pitches and drive his pitch count up. And that will be obviously a key for South Spencer this week is to try to see a lot of pitches from this guy and try to stay alive and put the ball in play because, Coach, it's pretty obvious. If two out of every three outs he's getting are strikeouts, the opposition isn't putting the ball in play against him very often and makes you wonder whether the defense behind him ever gets much of a chance. And certainly, South Spencer would love to make that defense play behind him and put some pressure on that defense by putting the ball in play.
Well, you make some really good points, and I hadn't even wrapped myself around that stat. 174 strikeouts in 90 and a third innings, and the interesting thing in that, he's not letting too many people get on base. Period. Only 21 walks in that same amount of time. So. A good, strong pitcher, but I can turn things back around to South Spencer and say, here's a team that continues to get better and better each week, both on the field and in the head, mentally. Not only did they get a nice win over Southridge to win the sectional, a strong win, an easy win. They also did the same in the regional. But then they probably came up against that team where everybody says, they've got to play an Indianapolis school. We'll see what they've got now. And they come out there with a shutout victory. So you've got to feel like this team, if people believe in the word peaking, is peaking at the right time.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I think Park Tudor came down very confident in their abilities thought that they were going to win that baseball game, and I don't blame them at all for feeling that way. They had an excellent baseball team, and South Spencer just kind of created a few breaks took advantage of a couple of things and pushed a couple of runs across, and Brandon Lehrer was outstanding. And I think the Partooter head coach after the game was kind of mentioned that. And what do you do? You know, the other team just was able to, take advantage of a break or two, and his team wasn't, and that was the difference. But, yeah, I think you're right. Peaking is definitely what South Finch has been doing here late in the season and in postseason. You know, prior to the end of the regular season, they got a big win at home against Jasper. That's always – it's a non-conference game, but I know it's a game that both programs look forward to. It's late in the season, getting them ready for tournament time, and I don't discount how big a win it was for those South Spencer kids to prove to them that they were making the strides they needed to make, because they saw both Jasper's good pitchers in that game. South Spencer didn't use Lehrer in that game because of a conference game the next day. So for them to get that win in the regular season against Jasper, while it doesn't mean anything, I think it was a big confidence boost for South Spencer, and maybe one of the things that's got this team peaking here in the postseason.
Yeah, and when you look at the last part of their schedule in the regular season, it absolutely would prepare a team mentally and physically to be ready for tournament play. You had Harrison, you had North Central of Indianapolis, you had Forest Park, Jasper, Gibson Southern, who always has outstanding baseball. All of those to prepare them for the tournament. And whatever the team didn't have coming in, it found it at the right time. And then you get the tradition, you get the history and tradition of the program, the mental toughness, it's tournament time. You've got a tournament tested and successful coaching staff. They've been there before. They've done it before. In fact, you've got the Norsemen and the Rebels hooking up, and they've, I guess, won the last couple state championships.
Right, yeah. Northfield last year, South Spencer 2 years ago. And for the Norsemen, a lot of guys packed off that team, I understand. For South Spencer, Nathan Keister, the catcher and the head coach's son, will be the only starter back from that team 2 years ago. The other two seniors were on the roster, I'm pretty sure, but didn't really play a whole lot back then. They were stuck behind an extremely talented group of seniors that year. So for a lot of these guys, while they were peripherally involved, with that two years ago, this will be a first-time experience for them, but certainly not for the coaching staff, and they'll have them focused and ready to go. And it's a team that's, as we've mentioned, playing with a lot of confidence and just a lot of belief right now on that South Spencer side.
And it looks like if you were talking about keys to this game for South Spencer to pull off a state championship, they have got, based on what we could see statistically with Northfield's starting pitcher, they got to find a way to get a couple guys on base, play some small ball, scratch in that dirt a little bit, and get a run across that plate.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. I think they've got to find ways to put the ball in play, and I know they've been talked with Coach Keister, and they've been working all week on hitting against that curveball, and probably, I'm guessing, I don't know this for a fact, but my guess is working on staying inside the ball and maybe trying to take the ball the other way a little bit and just making contact and not striking out. They struck out a lot against Rex of Partooter last Saturday, but they were able to get a lot of guys on base and run his pitch count up. And I think that's the key. They've got to make this pitcher work. And if he beats him, he beats him. But they've got to make him work as hard as he can and throw a lot of pitches and maybe even get deeper into that pitching staff. And on the South Spencer side defensively, they've got to continue to play solid defense, and they've got some outstanding plays in the field the last couple of weeks. Tyler Snyder, their third baseman, leaped over the side fence down the third baseline beyond the third base dugout at Rutscher Field and flipped over the fence and held on to a foul ball for an out. They had a great play at the plate with the infield in and the first inning to cut down a run from Partooter. So they've got to continue to play that solid defense behind their starter, Brandon Lehrer, because they know he's not going to strike guys out. He's going to have balls put in play. And they've got to make the plays behind him. And so I think just those things are going to be the big keys for South Spencer.
Well, Steve, it's going to be an exciting weekend for the people down in the south part of Spencer County. And when you think about these young people who listen to the show and the fans that go out there, it's not about those Rebels stepping up there and swinging at the first pitch. Make that pitcher work a little bit. Make him get tired, make a mistake, and put that ball in play and see if we can get some Rebels across the plate.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be a big part of it.
Thanks for being with us, Steve. Good luck to the South Spencer Rebels, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Joe. And, we'll talk to you down the line.
All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking 3A state championship baseball between Jasper. They'll be going up against the Norwell Knights, two outstanding teams, strong pitching staffs, strong hitting. We'll be talking with Kurt Duxell, Don Schulteis, Joe Milligan. You're listening to the summer special edition of The Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings. Crowns. Bridges and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care. Creating beautiful smiles.
You were in Nam, so were we. Where?
I was in Sang Bang, Dangang. I was all over that place, basically. A lot of places.
What unit were you in?
I was with the Green Beret, Special Unit Battalion, Commando Airborne Tactics, Specialist Tactics Unit Battalion. Yeah, it was real hush-hush. I was Agent Orange. That was my name, Agent Orange, Special Agent Orange. That was me.
Airborne, huh?
I have legs!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the special edition, the special summer edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm one of your hosts, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. We've been talking IU baseball. We've been talking NBA playoffs. We've been talking a little U.S. Open. In fact, I'm sitting here in my studio watching Rory McIlroy tee off here on one of the holes. Tiger just went before him, and I'll give you some updates on the U.S. Open as we go. We know after the first round, lefty Phil Mickelson was in the lead after the first round, and we'll get you some updates going forward. We just got done talking South Spencer 3A, 2A baseball. South Spencer will play tomorrow up at Victory Field. I think it's the second game of the day, the 4 o'clock game. They'll be playing the Northfield Norsemen. And, folks, Northfield looks pretty solid. If you're up in the northern part of the state or you're in the Indianapolis area, you might want to run out run over to Victory Field, especially, and watch. They've got a pitcher, Ryan Kaufelberger, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. He's 13-1. He's got a .46 ERA. He's got 174 strikeouts in 91 innings or 90 and a third innings this year. Pretty phenomenal numbers, no matter what level you're on. South Spencer will need to put the ball in play. There's no doubt about it. Are they going to have a lot of people walking back to the dugout? From what I understand, he's an off-speed curveball pitcher, but that will be a great opportunity for the South Spencer Rebels, who are down in the southern part of the state of Indiana in Spencer County, small communities of Rio, Rockport, a couple other small communities make up that corporation. But we're going to be talking, Jasper Wildcat baseball, a phenomenal program led by Coach Terry Gilbert. They're going to be playing in the 3A state championship tonight at 7:30 Eastern time up at Victory Field in Indianapolis. And joining me, along with Joe Milligan, my sometimes available sidekick of the Coach K and Joe Show, we have our Indy correspondent, Don Schulteis, and we have Kurt Guxel back to talk 3A Jasper Wildcat baseball. I'm going to start out again with Kurt. Kurt, this Jasper team coming into the season, we knew they were going to be a tough, solid tested baseball team. Has anything in your conversations with Terry Gobert or anything that you've seen, has anything surprised you about this Wildcat baseball team?
Well, the thing that surprised me about this baseball team is how versatile it's become, because they've had all kinds of position switches, different pitchers taking the mound, especially up the middle. They were not settled on a catcher, a shortstop, or a second baseman. Their center fielder was back, but he had to serve some games with a code of conduct violation, 14 or 15. So they were in angst up the middle for much of this season, and partly because they had to use pitchers to play those positions as well. So they kind of knew that going in, but just how unsettling the lineup was. But, you know, as they always look at it, that's why they give you 29 regular season games, you know, to try to figure it out and get on a roll when the tournament starts. But basically, a lot of things up in the air is what surprised me the most, and how they got it all together at this stage of the season.
And they're not the only two players. We'll talk about a few others, but the G-men, as I might call them, Gisler and Gobert, have really been strong keys to this baseball team, not just on the mound pitching, but also at the plate.
Well, no doubt, Mark Gisler earlier in the season, he was seeing nothing but fastballs. He put up 7 home runs, which is a great accomplishment in this day and age. We talked about the bat restrictions in college, but with the way that they play in a big park with those bats, hit 7 home runs to drive in 40 north of 45 RBIs. He's been outstanding. Nick Gilbert has been very solid to play as well, especially in that two spot where you're asked to bunt and move guys up and hit behind people. So in the field, at the plate, and those guys are two tremendous leaders. You'd love those guys playing for you, Coach, because they just get after it, and they want one thing, and that's to win. And
Kurt, what about my nephew, Spencer Otto? I think he's exploded here the last
game. We'll get to him. Look at Otto. I knew that was coming.
Spencer Otto was outstanding last week. We'll get to Spencer right now. He hit a good 3-run homer last week. He had a double that knocked in a run. He's a very good outfielder. He's picked him up on the mound, which was key early in the season. We saw Nick and Mark, they didn't have to throw so many innings. They spread that pitching around. And Spencer, reminiscent of his Uncle Don in that B&G Tire Cub uniform back in the day. just an outstanding player. But no, just no kidding aside, Spencer's been a mainstay. I mean, he's been really, really good as an outfielder and as a hitter in the bottom part of that order. He's been really, really good.
Yeah, I know.
Don has confused this talk about the 3-8 game with the rant, we'll let him have an opportunity to jump in here. Don, you're our Indiana correspondent. What I really wanted to talk to you about in the initial part here is the venue, Victory Field. You've been there. Tell our listeners who are not familiar with Victory Field in the Indianapolis area what kind of venue we're talking about.
Well, I tell you, Victory Field is, I'm up here right now, and the day up here in Indianapolis is just spectacular. And we were thinking, as we're planning on going to see Jasper tonight play, we were just talking about how great of an evening it's going to be at Victory Field, because that park, although it's not as large as obviously a major league park, for a 3A park, they built it right. They did it right. In addition to the seating, they've got field seating. You literally can sit on a grass bank in the outfield and watch the games. And it's just going to be an outstanding place to play. And I know Jasper's been fortunate over the years to be up at Victory Field a number of times, but I'm sure it doesn't get old for them. And it certainly doesn't get old for the fans that can come in and watch the high school state finals.
You know, both teams are tournament tested. Jasper's been to the state finals like 14 times. Norwell has been there 4 or 5 times with a couple of state championships. Kurt, this Norwell team is a pretty solid group put together. When you go up and down their roster, whether it's hitting the baseball, they're hitting 362 or 352 as a team, they've got 32 dingers, to their pitching, they're solid up and down.
Well, yeah, they're led by Josh Van Meter. He was a fifth-round draft pick by the San Diego Padres with like the 154th pick overall out of some 1,400 players that were drafted. They drafted him as a position player, but he'll run their high 80s and low 90s tonight. They also have a lot of other good pitching depth behind him. So that'll be something the Wildcats are going to have to do at. And they also have a good hitting lineup. They've hit, I don't know what kind of parks they play in, but they've hit 32 home runs. So, you know, they're going to be solid in the batter's box, and that's something that Nick and the Wildcat defense are going to have to combat.
Well, both teams have solid pitching staffs, at least if you look at it from a statistical standpoint. Obviously, both teams are 32-3. The ERA for Norwell is 2.44. The ERA for Jasper, 1.74. Jasper is a traditionally strong pitching team, at least it has been for many years. If they're a solid hitting team as well, batting 329. Is the key in this game, you've got to throw experience out the door because both teams have been in this position many times. The coaches are tournament tested, although this is the first year, I believe, for Norwell's head coach. He has had success in the past when he was at Brebeuf. Is the keys to this game, Kurt, as you see it, who can put the ball in play, who can get men on base?
Well, I think that's going to be the key, and I think the key is going to be who plays the better defense, because I think both teams are going to try to, with good pitchers on the mound, try to manufacture some stuff. You know, who's going to be able to handle that bunt with everybody screaming? Who's going to be able to make the play on that routine ground ball that will win you a state championship? Not the diving play or the diving catch, but the routine, mundane, run-of-the-mill routine play is going to be the key. Whichever team does that, and I think a lot of that comes down to how you were prepared, not just in the game, but throughout the season, where you don't gloss over things, mistakes, you correct them at the time that you build up this point, and how much work that they've done to prepare this week. And did they listen to their coaches and say, hey, this is how it's going to be up there. This is what you're going to have to do. I think a lot of that stuff has already been, you know, established. But bottom line tonight, it will be which team cracks first. I mean, the Wildcats along this tournament trail, you know, in the Silver Creek game, that was going to be a tight game, but Silver Creek cracked. Crawfordsville came in and Cass just kept at him. Spencer had the big home run, but then they fell apart defensively. They gave up like 8 stolen bases, forgot to hold runners on. In these games, especially against the Jasper team, I think they're going to see Will Norwell crack. But will Norwell be able to overwhelm Jasper with all these supposed good players that they've got? So that's the keys I'm going to look for. Who will crack first in the ballgame?
Yeah, and guys, as we end our live portion of the show, of our special edition, we are going to move into podcast. So everybody listening live, just get ready to stay on the podcast because we're going to be talking about a lot more things. Don, I want to pull you in on this. You know, Spencer Otto is your nephew. He's that good, solid high school player, plays a couple different sports, hard worker, successful. It had to be exciting for you being connected with him to have the kind of semi-state game he had last week.
Yeah, I was really happy for him. I was going to point out, you know, Spencer, he's just a solid kid and continues to, you know, plug away. And I know he went through a bit of a season hitting slump, and it was great to see him just kind of fight his way out of that as the tournament began. We were fortunate to come down and see the semifinal game of the sectional tournament where he was able to bust through and get a hit or two, and he continued and has continued that streak, you know, over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I know I'm a little bit biased, but he's just a solid young man, and it's just great to see good things happen to kids that put in the effort, put in the work, have the kind of attitude that he has. So I'm so excited, and we're so excited to be able to go down as a family and root the Wildcats on, especially Spencer Otto.
Well, I've met Spencer a couple, been around him a few times. He's a great kid, and his mom and dad, they should certainly be proud. You know, when you look at Jasper's record, 32-3, listen to their three losses, guys. They lost to Indianapolis Cathedral, and Donnie, you can talk a minute about them in just a second. Indianapolis Cathedral, they lost to. Indianapolis Cathedral is playing for a 4A state championship. They lost to Jeffersonville. Jeffersonville was one game away from playing for a 4A state championship. They lost to South Spencer. Guess what? South Spencer plays tomorrow for a 2A championship game. This is a schedule that sometimes people make comments about Jasper needs to play a tougher schedule. I don't really know where, as I look at it up and down the line, from victories to our losses, how you could play anything any tougher on the high school level in the state of Indiana without traveling all over the country. Don, they lost to Cathedral. Cathedral's going to be playing for a 4A state championship tomorrow. What a banner year for Cathedral all the way around.
Yeah, it really has been. And you mentioned Jeffersonville coming up a game short. Cathedral beat Jeffersonville last weekend in a kind of a come-from-behind 4-3 victory. And I'm sure the Red Devil fans are just fuming because, as you guys may recall, the Cathedral Irish beat the Jeffersonville basketball team in the semi-state to go on to the state finals, and so that's two times in one year. But you know, Cathedral has had a great season with regards to their baseball team, and I know Coach Andriole has modeled the program, believe it or not, after Jasper's program. He had met Terry Gobert very early in his career and decided that that was the way to do it, because I've had conversations with him. They're undefeated. And, you know, they've kind of come in under the radar. They have battled through being eliminated from the sectional last year. And I know Coach Andriole did not appreciate their early exit last year and stewed on it all over the off season into the late summer and fall and winter. And he just brags a lot about their team. It's a team effort. Even though they've got a real strong pitcher that's going to he's a junior now in Ash Russell heading to Notre Dame, it's really, as Coach says, it's been a team effort for him, and it's going to be exciting to watch him Saturday night. So for me, I'm going to spend the next two evenings at Victory Field, and if the weather's as good as it is today, there's nothing that I'll like better.
Kurt, as we turn our attention back to Jasper and going up and down their roster, they've had some guys that have just played big for them throughout the season. One of them, Devin Traylor. He's put together just a really quality year at the plate and overall as a player for the Wildcats.
Yeah, he's a very good defensive center fielder, and that was one of the question marks they had up the middle. They knew they were going to be solid with him, but again, he had to sit out 14 or 15 games, and he was their leadoff guy. So they then shook to Ben Moore, who was the two-hole hitter, up in the leadoff spot. Ben did a great job. And then we talked about what IU did with their leadoff guy, and then Curitan in that 9-1, the double leadoff spot. That's what they've got Traylor doing now. He's the 9-hole hitter. Moore's the leadoff guy now. So they got two good leadoff-type guys back-to-back in the lower part of the order and in the top of the order. And it's really served them well since Devin has come back. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's very talented.
You know, as we look at the Jasper program overall, and I'll tell you what, whether you like him, love him, no matter what, you know, Terry Gobert, he took the reins from Ray Howard, who had a great Hall of Fame career, who took the reins from a coach and Rex May before that, and Don Noblett took a team to the state finals a couple times. Terry has just had what very few coaches in the state of Indiana, as far as high school baseball, just unparalleled success. There's just it's hard to explain the consistency. You know, you can say hard work, they work hard, they do things right, but the cycle of players, you still have to deal with the cycle of players, of good pitchers, good hitters. You know, you can do things right, and you can make the right calls, and you can be a great coach and still have a team that doesn't get out of the tournament first round. But for him to do it on such a consistent basis, what do you think are some of the things that make the Jasper baseball program unique?
Well, I think, you know, I think Jasper treats baseball like they like other people would treat a basketball program or a football program. You know, it's the third major sport. They've always had good youth programs. I mean, your dad was down there a long time with some of that stuff. And, you know, kids want to play baseball. They want to play all sports at Jasper. And they, you know, and they do work hard. I mean, that's part of it. And I think the other thing is, again, they set out at the beginning of the season, you know, just like your teams did. If they were making mistakes in the first game of the season, they were going to try to correct it. They weren't just going to try to turn it on when the tournament starts and then say, okay, now we got to get serious. Now we got to play. I think they just develop a culture of this is how we're going to play. This is how we're going to act. This is how we're going to do things. I know, and everybody wants the sexy answer, so maybe they can do it in a quick way or a shortcut way. But I can't give you that quick fix or how to do better, do like they do. It's just it's hard to explain. And you guys have been around good, successful programs. Kenny, you ran one. I mean, it's just a way of doing things. I know it's not probably not a good answer. But it's probably the best thing I got.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people don't understand it. It really is going back to the little things, even after a win, even after a big win, even after five wins in a row. You've got to look at the things that you should be correcting. You've got to look at the unsexy things, the unfun things, and you've got to take care of them. Because once you come up against the teams that can do something a little better than you, a little more talented than you, you can't afford for that mistake, that misfield ball, that base you didn't take when you should have, that keeping the ball in play, that making that pitcher work three or four more pitches an inning so you can wear him down. Because if you don't do those things against the better teams as you move through the tournament, you're going to be out. Sometimes you can't help that. Sometimes it's not your day. Sometimes the other guy's got the fastball moving or the curveball breaking, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I think in my conversation with Coach Gilbert a few weeks ago, I really respected what I took away from there. He thinks the right way all the time. You've got to take care of those little things every day.
Well, I agree, because I just think that there's just a certain way to get your teams better for later on, and that's to do those things from day one. And I think that's what they do. They do pretty well there. And you know, there's a lot of times where tonight you might go man for man and look at their players, and they might have seven better players in position. You know, Jasper's went up against the 90-mile-an-hour thrower to 95. But in the end, again, it's that who cracks first mentality, and more often than not, it's been the other team in these situations.
Yeah, and they can throw 90 or 95. If that ball isn't moving, eventually you're going to start sitting on that fastball and doing something with it. Hey, guys, let's rant a little bit. Let's start with this right now. And I'm going to start with Don, because Don's up there, and he's seen those crowds come in. What is with the IHSAA not thinking past their finger, their nose, their tongue, or something else on their body? What is with the IHSA having Jasper, who probably travels better than anyone in the state, playing on a Friday night and not a Saturday?
I do not know what happened. Somebody alluded to Jasper, the 3A team, was, you know, the championship was drawn out of a hat and picked to play on Friday night. So I have no idea how that gets picked. Kurt, do you have insight on how that gets picked, or does it rotate every year?
Well, there for a while, up until last year, it was always the 1A game that was played first on Friday night, with the 4A game always locked in. But last year, Western, who was near Kokomo, played. I think it may have been Park Tudor. So they did that. They were going to do the Friday night game, teams that are close to Indianapolis. But obviously, here in this situation, that's not the case. But I can guarantee you what they're doing tonight is they're saying, Norwell, you usually bring a lot of fans. Jasper usually packs that place. Let's boost this Friday night attendance. Even though some people from Norwell and Jasper won't be able to make it, it will still be better than our Friday night crowd that normally comes there. And then tomorrow, we've got not only do we have the six teams that are going to bring a lot of people, but that's when other people start, the casual fans start rolling into the state finals, so they know for sure they're going to get a good crowd tomorrow. So that's what I think took place in this situation. But you know what? Jasper was going to play in Fort Wayne tonight. If that's where they told them to play,
That's their mentality, and that's what they're going to do. I know it doesn't work out for some people, but, you know, coach is happy. It's the first, it's the only game. You can get on the field when you want to. They're not going to push you off, win or lose, to celebrate. You're under the lights. You're playing for a state championship game, and let's have at it. I think they turned it into a positive once they got, you know, used to the initial shock. But I think that's, to answer your question, I think that's what happened in that situation. Because, again, that 4A game is always locked in because they presume that's the best baseball. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But that's what they did in this case, I think.
Well, I see the rationale barely. I say put your two poorest teams that bring people in, let them play whatever class that is. I think they hurt their gate, but I think the IHSA does a lot of dumb things in the last few years. And Bobby, if you're listening, and I know you've listened to our show at least one time, if you're listening, if you need somebody to think a little bit further on some of these things, give me a call. I'll be happy to sit down as you look at some of these draws and pick sites and pick when teams play. And I know Coach Colbert's going to play whenever he's asked to, and I know that being the only game is nice too, but I was looking at it strictly from an attendance standpoint, and I think they're going to miss out on some ticket sales. Don, you guys had some news up in Indy in recent weeks. I got to talk with a couple people from Cathedral the other day at a coach's event. I don't like this stuff that's happening. I wish Lala Muir didn't exist in Indiana. But tell our listeners a little bit about one of the top players in Indiana coming back in high school next year. He was part of the Cathedral State Final basketball team, and what's going on with his future?
Well, you're talking about Jalen Coleman. Jalen, one of the premier guards in the state, but actually in the country. I think he's the last ranking nationally that I saw. He was number 35 in his class, and highly touted, averaged almost 15 points on a very talented Cathedral team that took Carmel to, you know, the last minute of the state final game. And, you know, as we looked at seeing four or five seniors graduate, both Jalen coming back for Cathedral and some other parts, we felt like, man, Cathedral's going to be a pretty solid team again. But it was announced just a couple weeks ago that his family decided to send him and his little brother that's going to be an incoming freshman to Lala Muir. And I don't like it either, Coach. I mean, I don't understand it. I get from a financial standpoint, it was in the paper quoted by his dad that he nor his brother will spend one dime to go to school there. I know they play a national schedule with regards to their basketball program. You know, they go to Vegas, the West Coast, the East Coast, all that during the year. The ironic thing was that Cathedral played Lala Muir during the year last year and beat them. It was a fantastic game. And Cathedral, a lot of these 4A schools up here, particularly in the central part of the state, can play a very competitive schedule. So as far as being pushed as a player, it had to come down to either exposure or, you know, one of these handlers whispering in somebody's ear and getting people moved around. But it just is terrible, I think, for high school sports in general. And I think, you know, you talked about the IHSAA, what they're doing. You know, if they can't even get a lineup for a state baseball finals right. As far as policing the players that are just – it's musical chairs with these basketball players, high school basketball players up here. And since this is the rant portion, it just infuriates me. And it to me, it makes no sense how you've got a policing organization like the IHSAA or supposedly, and there's basically no rules anymore with regards to people going places and that kind of stuff. So
there are no rules, and this is a thing that I've seen the last 5-6 years, and I would even go to say that there are a lot of 3A teams up in that Indianapolis area that could play with Lala Muir easily, and I don't understand how this prep school is able to generate the kind of money it generates to take these trips, but I just think that Coleman, I think he misses out on an important part. I don't think his competition, the emotion of it, the enthusiasm, the adrenaline is any better, and I don't think you have to be at a prep school to be a good player. And I'm going to tell you something else, and Kurt, you're welcome to jump in. I would almost venture to say, except for a few of these prep schools, that the coaching on the Indiana high school level, the coaching on the Indiana high school level is better than they will get at any prep school. And yes, they may be playing with more talented players, and yes, they may be playing against more talented players, but that doesn't mean they're better players. And Hannah Perea and a few other guys are great examples of young men who were not ready to play Division I basketball, college basketball, when they came out of the prep schools.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kurt dropped. I'm trying to get him back on the line, so I wanted to let you know since you did that. But just to interject my opinion, for some reason these prep school stuff's kind of become the sexy thing to do, and I agree with you. I've seen some of the games on TV, and I think that being coached by an Indiana high school basketball coach would get you just as prepared as these schools are, other than the massive travel that they do. But after I say that, I'm going to go get Kurt, okay?
Well, would you not agree with me that some of the coaching on this next level, supposedly, it's more about throwing the ball out there and letting these guys run up and down and use their athletic ability? Defense is not played the way it needs to be other than blocking shots. Offense is not played the way it needs to be other than penetration and kick.
I agree. I mean, I think that a lot of it's similar to AAU ball. I think that these prep schools can go out and pick their talent, and they, you know, try to quote-unquote showcase the talent and let them play in a wider open type of game. And, you know, they're not – I don't think they're being coached up as far as working on their weaknesses and improving. Now, the exposure is there, and I would love for some investigated reporter to come in and really get into the fray of these prep schools and find out who sponsors these people, because – you know, I ran it on the IHSAA, and La Lumiere and all these prep schools are not part of the IHSAA or any beholden to any type of organization like that. But so it's freewheeling, and they probably have big shoe companies sponsoring them to some extent. And yeah, as I said, they're traveling all around, and you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to pay more attention to it because, you know, I know Jalen and he's going to be playing up there, but I'm going to try to do a little bit more research on some of these schools just to find
Jalen's
out.
Jalen's not getting any better exposure. I mean, he's as exposed in the country as you can be, and he's not going to be playing against that much better talent because Indianapolis is packed with great basketball right now.
No doubt about it, and Jalen's given up his chance to be Mr. Basketball. And although a lot of these guys say, "Oh, it's not a big deal," you know, we're looking on something much bigger. Maybe you are, but you know, when you get 20 years down the road or whatever, and you're Indiana Mr. Basketball, that says something for you for the rest of your life. And I hate that because he's a great kid. He's a great talent. He needs to get better. I hope it all comes together for him. And he's not the only one. I mean, we talk about him, but there's rumors up here that Trey Lyles is going to end up at La Lumiere. He's traveling with the Canadian junior team right now in Europe. He was born in Canada, so he qualified. He played with them last year, had a great summer. And I will not be surprised, Coach K, that at the end of this summer he comes in and it's announced that he's also going up there because, you know, they actively recruit. And he would be a great addition to that school and what they're trying to do, which is, you know, win these national tournaments during the year and that kind of stuff.
Well, here's an interesting tidbit from this week. Jaquan Lyle, Evansville Bossy, outstanding prospect and highly recruited throughout the country, supposedly has his number down to seven teams he's looking at. He recently skipped a playing with the junior, Indiana Junior All-Stars, not to run to a prep school, but to actually come back and play with his teammates in some of the open scrimmage games that they're allowed to have under the IHSA rules now. I thought that was pretty interesting that he thought enough to skip out on playing with, you know, the other guys, the so-called stars, to come back and be a part of playing with his teammates for next year.
That's outstanding. I'm glad to hear that. Maybe, you know, this stuff will come full circle and some of these kids will realize that, heck, the memories and the friendships and all of that are worth it. And you don't really sacrifice anything. In fact, it improves the chemistry for the coming year. I know my son, Matt, is participating this month with his high school, and they got back from a day camp at IUPUI where they got instruction and played three games against other high school teams. And, you know, that's what it takes. And that's the advantage maybe of these rules that have changed in the summertime for these teams to get a little bit more chemistry and kind of work on some things, especially when you have teams where you've got a number of people graduating and the team's going to look a bit different and that kind of thing. So my hat goes off to Jaquan, and it's good to see him thinking about his team and his teammates.
Don, before we broke the last time, before we went to our summer vacation, as Joe calls it, I call it season finale, we got into a little bit about the AAU. And you, who are experienced in it with your son, Matt Schulteis, who goes to Indianapolis Cathedral, is really improving and becoming a solid player. And we're proud of him, and hopefully people keep an eye on him as he goes forward. But you had some thoughts on the AAU process, and they're really not much different than my thoughts are and have been. It does have a purpose, but let's revisit a little bit about some of the things you saw and the concerns you have with the direction that AAU is taking.
Well, I my concerns really boil down to the leadership. A lot of the coaches and a lot of the way these programs are run, I mean, we're fortunate. Matt's playing for a good, solid coach, and they're worried. They're focused on helping the kids get better as opposed to just, you know, winning games or just tournaments. I mean, all that's part of it, and I get that. But what really concerns me and gets me, just sickens me, Coach, I have to tell you, is when I see grown individuals that are in charge of these teams, coaching them, are you know, the pseudo general managers, the way they treat the kids when things are going well for them, they're the hot potato, and when things start to turn on them a little bit, they'll bring in. You know, I've heard stories where they bring in talent, and somehow there was one story, and I can't substantiate it, but I'll just allude to it to give you kind of extreme. One of the parents that has an older son that's a senior now said a couple years ago their team was an elite team, and they were going through a struggle, and so they brought in this player from out of state, and he basically practiced with them on a Thursday, and he heard them say, well, it's going to cost $20,000 for him to play with you from here on out. And I said, what happened? And he said, well, he was playing with us the rest of the year or the rest of that AAU season. So I assume somebody paid him what they wanted. And when I hear that kind of stuff, it just boils my blood. And, you know, the corruption, the potential corruption. And I know how it is with college sports. These guys are, you know, you got to have your leads into this AAU program because it has a lock on a lot of the talent and that kind of thing. But I just don't believe it's good long term for these kids. And I'd much rather see them spending focused time on getting better. You know, working on their weaknesses, improving their strengths, and that kind of thing. And you know, I like the fact now in the last couple of years they do carve out the month of June for the high school programs because I do think it kind of takes the air out of that balloon a little bit. with the AAU programs. But it's still here. It's a big force. There's a lot of money involved, probably more than I can even imagine. And it just I hope it's the right thing for these kids. I have my
The one thing that parents need to realize, and I'm telling them not just as a coach, but as a parent myself, and going through it with younger players too, if you are not working on your skills, if you are not working on passing, dribbling, shooting, footwork, how to make a move, the intricacies of getting a person on your hip, the angles of the game, you're not going to get better just playing games. What's going to happen is you're going to be comfortable playing games, but your level of improvement is going to stop. You're going to be making a lot of mistakes in how you play. You're going to settle for the 15-footers because you don't know what to do when you get the ball taken to the basket. You don't know how to post up. You don't know how to block out. You don't know how to pass and cut. I see this, Don, all the time with young players and high school players. I can tell they know how to play the ball game up and down the court, get it, pass it, dribble it to the basket or shoot it from out, but they can't do anything else once the defense is on them. And
yeah,
this is where I really think the gaps have started, and the good coaches coaching AAU are going to work with their players on these things. The guys that aren't there for the coaching, they're just for the fun of the game, the high of the game, the high of talking to the college coaches, the high of having some shoe company or sporting goods company give them some kickbacks. That's not what is in the best interest of the young man. And I know they can say, hey, Coach K, you don't know, you don't live in some of the neighborhoods, you're not growing up in some of the – I know this, that the way to better yourself is to get better at what you're doing, to take your talents and lift them up, to learn, to get educated, to understand, and to move up that way. That's how you go up the stair and stay up the stairs. There's no shortcuts. Every time you try to take a shortcut, you end up back where you were or you end up a little bit lower. So, folks, there's a happy medium. I think, Don, I think that's what you're saying. There's a happy medium. The problem is we get a lot of AAU coaches out there that aren't a part of that happy medium. It's all the one way and none of the other.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for anybody that's thinking about AAU or in the middle of it, talk to the coaches and make sure you understand what their goals are and really hold them accountable for those goals. Is it to help your son or daughter and the team get better? If those aren't one of the goals, I'd be finding the team that's the goal. And speaking of that, Coach, I have to give you a little bit of a compliment. My son came in yesterday and said, Matt said to me, Dad, when is the Coach K camp this summer? And I said, you want to go back? And he said, absolutely. I always learn something from the coach. So we'll have to get on that.
Yeah, we will. And I know I'm working with some young kids right now, and Joe's son, Reese, is a part of it. I got to give a shout-out to those guys. Reese is mostly a guard, but we had to put him out of position. He just did a great job the other night as our little EBA team, which we work with on the side, on their skills as well as in the games, are off to a 2-0 start. So, Joe, are you still with us or did you head out?
Oh, I'm with you. If you remember my dog tragedy, I've been taking care of it. Don,
I think we've come to the end of the show, the summer special, the Coach K and Joe show. If you were listening, then you heard us talk IU baseball. We talked Jasper baseball. We talked Vincent Gervais, South Spencer, Cathedral. We have talked NBA playoffs. We've talked the U.S. Open. We talked AAU. We have talked about it all in just one show. Now I'm all pumped up again, and I think we should do like five more. But we probably will have one more special maybe at some point. But otherwise, folks, you'll have to listen to our rebroadcast on podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. You can send your comments, your messages. We take everything in stride. Don't get too personal, but, you know, we do want you to be involved with the show. Joe, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go, too, because I'm heading up to where Donnie's at to cheer on the Wildcats.
Oh, it's a beautiful day up here, Joe. It's going to be a great evening for high school baseball. I'm so pumped up to watch the Cats play.
and we're getting ready.
Well, we'll definitely be up there, but we've got to wait on our son Scott to come back from patrol boy camp at Camp Carson, and he doesn't get back till 6:30 this evening. Who knows? We might venture up there just to hang out for tomorrow if the weather's good, because Victory Field is a great place to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, folks, thank you for joining us for the summer special edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. My sidekick, my co-host, my friend sometimes, Joe Milligan, is going to take us home.
And, for those of you that okay, I've got a dog going crazy now, another dog. For those of you that don't know, the game is, I think, broadcast tonight. I think it's Channel 7 out of Evansville, if I'm not mistaken. So you'll be able to catch the game. And, Don, I'll be up there with you, and we'll enjoy here a good game. And I hope your nephew, Spencer, has another humongous game. So for Don Schulteis, for Joe Milligan, This is the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Bent Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.